WellMed is directly supported by our listeners of the show. Head on over to patreon.com/WellMedPodcast and find out how you can get involved. Enjoy the show? Join our Discord community. Share deck lists, meet new friends, discuss strategy, and more at discord.me/WellMedPodcast. This episode of WellMed is brought to you by Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Twitter and Facebook at Legion by Lenovo.
You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 113 of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is June 26, 2017 from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horstman. With me, of course, is most of the crew. JR couldn't make it, so we're going to head on over to wherever Ray is from. Say hi to Ray C. What's up, Ray?
What's up, John? I'm glad to be here, but I'm also not glad to be here because I should be in Germany right now. But that's another story.
I know, but that's so brutal, dude. I was so upset when I saw.
Yeah, like come at you quick.
Yeah,
but now I'm here, so it's all better.
Thanks so much. So glad you believe in the show. Being on WellMed is kind of like being a part of a $50,000 seed story cup.
Basically the same.
Except,
I think so, yeah.
We get to sleep in our own beds, which is nice.
I was kind of looking forward to trying to sneak into this guy's toast or Cydonia's bed, honestly.
TMI, bro. TMI.
All right.
Let's jump over and hang out with our wild expert extraordinaire. It's none other than Danny Donuts. Hey, Danny.
Yo, yo. How's it going, John?
Dude, it's going good, man. I don't have a whole new studio set up, but I spent about 30 hours troubleshooting my studio because I tried to get a new graphics card and I ended up having to return it. So hopefully you're doing better, but doing good.
Yeah, the new mic's pretty good. I really like it.
It sounds great, man. It sounds crisp. So
also
good.
Also looks professional.
It does.
Yeah, that's the best part about it. It actually looks cool.
Yeah. So I remember the first feeling when I got like my first real microphone and like got all this stuff for it. It was like, yeah, this is sick. It doesn't go away. So you'll enjoy a nice microphone setup for a long time. Well, boys, this is a Hearthstone podcast. So we should probably talk about Hearthstone a little bit. Well, let's talk about our weeks, what we've been up to and kind of doing and going from there. Danny, what have you been up to in Hearthstone this week?
Well, at the beginning of the week, I pushed a legend, used Egg Druid and Pirate Warrior just to climb up there. But I've been memeing around in Dumpster Legend in Wild. So I've got some pretty fun decks going, and I'm going to start to make the final push towards the end of the season.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool.
Well, good luck. Hope you do well. Make us proud, please. Please make us proud. What about you, Ray? What have you been up to, man?
Well, I've been eating my pain away, but aside from that, I was playing Hearthstone while I was watching Seed Story Cup and eating lots of ice cream, but I was actually able to get around. I got like top 50 legend at one point. I was playing a combination of Aggro Druid and Pirate Warrior and just counter queuing with ridiculous decks against people who made me angry. I would just try to counter queue them immediately.
Spiteful week for you, I can see.
It has. I would just get queue into like a Jade Druid as Quest Warrior and just get stomped and then immediately queue up Quest Rogue and just win on like turn four. And I would feel so good.
I bet.
But
I do love that.
That's what I was.
I remember you and I did we were doing a coaching session one time and we had something happen. We were playing at like rank 5 or something. So there should be like a lot of people there. We faced this guy twice in a row. We got stomped. So we counter queued the deck. We're like, let's just see if we get him. We get him the third time and he concedes on turn 4. And it was awesome. Got him.
You know, that's why I'm no longer friends with Fibonacci, actually. On the last day of the season, we were both top 100 legend. He was playing Control Warrior, and I was playing like, I think I was playing some type of like Miracle Rogue or something. Either way, I just counter queued him with Jade Druid, and then he deleted me.
Ooh. Yikes.
You got to do what you got to do sometimes, man.
Did you see the tweet that Fibonacci sent out a few weeks ago about how many Warrior wins he had?
It was over 1,000.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Ray, what do you think your highest win class is?
I mean, I know it's Warrior, but it's not 20,000. It's more like 2,000 or 3,000. I actually don't have that many wins on my account compared to like a lot of the pro efficient players.
Yeah.
Haven't played as long. No, I haven't played as long, and I don't think I play nearly as much as they do. Like, they probably play like 10, 15 hours more a week than I do.
What do you think, Danny? Do you know?
Mine aren't as close. I'm probably around 1,800 in Warrior and 15 in Druid. But I mean, I'm not a professional player, so
that's still a lot. Like, that's like, yeah. Like, I don't have that many wins with that. I'm like, I don't know if I have that many wins total. So. I do. I actually think I crossed like 5,000 or 6,000 wins total on my account, which I was actually pretty proud of. Which, because that basically means I probably played about 20,000 games at this point if I have 6,000 wins because of how good I am at the game. So
just imagine though, like when you see that number and you try to quantify it in time, like I've played 20,000 games of Hearthstone. Like just imagine that.
What, 20,000 like, games at like, let's
that's
say
so much time.
6 minutes a game. Oh my God. Someone do that math.
That's crazy.
Go ahead.
I think there used to be an app where you typed in how many games you've won and your win rate, and it would tell you what you could have done with your time. And the last time I checked, I could have already learned to speak like 20 different languages the amount of time I put into playing Hearthstone.
Dang. Well, this might be a depressing episode.
No, it's just that's just interesting. I don't need to know 19 other languages, dude. I don't need to know those languages.
Because that's not including to all the podcasts you listen to, and articles you've read, podcasts you've guested on.
Right, John, Dang. We get it. I don't have a life. It's okay. I just play Hearthstone. Dang. I'm okay with it. I've accepted it.
You could have a cool tech startup by now. Cool things.
I don't know about that, but I'm doing cool stuff with Hearthstone. Come on.
That is true. That is true. If somebody is seeing a payoff here, it's definitely you at this point. So, hey, nice.
I'm enjoying myself. It's a good time.
It's what it's about. It's what it's about.
How about you, John? How was your week today? How was your week in Hearthstone?
Thank you for asking. Nobody ever asks me that. We've been doing this for 113 episodes, and I can probably count on 5 fingers. So 5 times. how many times somebody was asking me that? So now I'm doing really good. Week in Hearthstone was all right. I am the worst type of Hearthstone player. I just only want to win. I only want to win Hearthstone, which means that I play the most lame decks because I feel like if I'm not winning in Hearthstone and I'm not climbing the ladder, I'm not preparing myself to be a good podcaster about Hearthstone because I'm, memeing around at rank 10 or rank 7 because I'm not good enough of a player to win, do a disguised toast thing or day 9 thing and win with meme decks. I'm just not good enough at these games yet. And so I queued up the old Pirate Warrior with all the new, with all the new rogue stuff coming back up again. And everyone, it's kind of like the flavor of the week again. And it's got really gotten really strong and a lot of play at lower ranks, but Pirate Warrior is just so, I don't want to say easy, but Ray, is it okay if I say easy?
John, is your battle tag Kick Tripod?
Who's asking? Who's asking?
I'm just asking. I'm just checking my friends list. I need to, you know, clean out a little bit.
Oh, it's Eldorian. So,
all right.
You can remove Eldorian from your friends list. Fair enough.
He's the Pirate Warrior player.
Yeah, he is. You know. So
all you gotta do is counter him. Counter cue him.
Yeah, it's true. Counter cue. Yeah, counter cue me. I'm up to like rank 6 right now though, so that's not too bad.
I don't think I can cue into you, John.
Yeah, maybe not. My rank is too high. Yours is too low. You're like what, 100? Rank 6. Yes.
Yeah, you see, that's much higher number. But yeah, lower.
I've been doing the thing because I've been watching. There's been a lot of really new Overwatch tournaments that like are actually starting to matter for the scene. And so I'll turn on those tournaments and then I'll queue up and play Hearthstone on my iPad and just, you know, have some good fun. So it's been fun. I did a charity stream earlier this week where we played some meme decks. And
I was watching. That was pretty fun.
I didn't have all the pieces for the meme deck part, so I just had like really good arena decks at that point. And
he cut Velen from an OTK deck.
Oh, I still had Velen.
What did you cut then?
I didn't cut. I
thought you cut Velen.
No, I had Velen. I had Velen in my hand. I never ended up playing it. But it was like, I think I used I don't know. I used Bran too early because I didn't have another piece. And so, yeah. Anyways, it was still a lot of fun. I still won. It was against Pat Crane. He does the Convert to Raid podcasts, which are pretty huge if you're into all Blizzard stuff. So, yeah, that's been a lot of fun. Let's go into the news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So if you want to go to BlizzCon and you haven't gotten your tickets, you're going to get another opportunity. On July 5th, you will have what's that?
I said, oh, baby.
Oh, baby. July 5th, they're going to have a third ticket sale. That's Thursday, July 5th at 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time at universe.com. Of course, the links will be in the show notes for you, so you can check that out. But if you haven't gotten your tickets and you want to go, I haven't got my tickets yet, and I'm going to now. So do that thing, get those tickets. Also, if you're not able to, but you know you're any friends who are, ask them to pick up extra ones, because once you're in the queue, you can get as many tickets as it'll allow, which is 4. So. Yeah, do that and good luck. Have fun. And we've also got, and this is the big news this week. We've got some upcoming card pack changes. So this is effective immediately. So we're going to talk about that first. So they're calling it the Greater Crater Promotion. And what it says is, at least Starseeker and her junior explorers have stumbled upon a fascinating discovery, a crater full of card packs. Starting in the next few days, we'll have a special limited time promotion for Journey to Un'Goro card pack bundles. The price stays the same, but the number of packs gets dino-sized. So, the original pack bundles, you would get 7, and now with the special pack bundles, you'll get 9. 15 pack bundles get 20, 40 pack bundles get 52, and 60 pack bundles get 78. They do put an asterisk next to 60 packs, saying that the 60 pack bundle is only available on PC. So, there is that. Either of you gentlemen going to be hopping on some Unguro card packs here now that you can get, you know, what, that's like 20 to 30% extra for the same price?
I think I will on my EU account for sure. But on NA, at this point, I'm just trying to, you know, get golden stuff because I kind of already have everything. And either that or just kind of wait for the next set and try not to spend money. But, you know, that's not going to happen. I'm just going to get gold decks and then spend all my money again because that's just how I am.
I'm proud of you.
Or Blizzard will throw a new heroic brawl and then that's going to be the gold sink.
Oh. Mm. I love heroic brawls.
It's that's so much so fun.
I think I won like three of them in a row last time or something ridiculous like that. And I got so many packs. It was crazy. I had so much dust.
Yeah, that was, if you're really good at the game, those heroic tavern brawls, like call out of work for the week and just run as many of those as possible. Oh, yeah. Because it was such a good deal for that.
I did so many during the wild tavern brawl. That one was probably, that was my favorite so far.
The wild one? Actually, I never did a wild one.
It was really interesting because you had all of the standard guys hopping over to wild, and there was a ton of innovation, which was great. You had to see some decks really get refined over that period.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. But you showed him who was boss, though, of course.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think I actually had the most fun during the wild tavern brawl compared to the standard one just because it was so refreshingly different. I was like, this feels good.
Nice.
Until I get a Doomsayer from Shredder.
Feel so good. That's why I don't play wild. Got it.
No, it doesn't happen that often.
So that's the first big change and a pretty welcome one. Like I don't think that there's anyone who's like, no. Can I actually tell you though? Can I just vent for a second? I said on Twitter, I was like, I don't know how anyone can look at this as a negative thing as a consumer. And no joke, hop on over to Reddit, start reading those Reddit comments, which you guys can just tell me right now, I'm an idiot. Guy literally types this up, and it's like the third or fourth most upvoted comment. He says, Blizzard has clearly lost their mind and doesn't understand how opportunity cost works, and by giving away free packs, won't be able to pay the artists and designers to keep, maintain, and update the game. Dan's game.
That's Reddit for you.
I uninstalled my internet browser at that point. I just uninstalled it.
I uninstalled the internet from my life.
Uninstalled. I unplugged my AOL CD. And just was like, peace out. Yeah. So someone found a way to look at this as a bad thing. But besides that, we do have some pretty cool changes. First one is called Wah Legendary. So every time you open a legendary in a card pack, it will be a legendary card from the same set that you don't already own. I need to take a second and go back. The card pack promotion just went live today. So if you're listening to this or watching this, you can log on now and take advantage of those promotions. The rest of these changes don't take place until the next expansion. So if you go buy 80 packs and you get a bunch of duplicate legendaries, you can't blame Well Met unless you paused and didn't listen all the way through, in which case you deserved it. So so no more duplicate legendaries going forward. I mean, that has to be awesome, right? You guys got to be pretty stoked about this.
I wish they had this last expansion. Dude, I opened three Warlock quests. And I'm like, geez, I wish that those were, I mean, it's going to be fantastic to have this going through.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happens if we have all of the legendaries? That's what I want to know. Do I just get duplicates?
It's a random one.
Yeah, then you just get a random one. So, yeah, so if you do have all the legendaries in that set, you'll just get random duplicate ones from there. But
I was hoping it would go to golden. Does that count? Like, because I don't have a golden X.
So it's based on the max number you can put in a deck. So whether it's regular or golden. But that's a good question. So if you get the regular version and you get a Golden Legendary. Can it be one you already have? Interesting. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no.
Probably it counts as like a non-golden, like it takes up that spot.
And right. So you can,
once you get all, yeah,
it's all aesthetic. So that's going on. That's pretty sick. And to your point, Danny, I wish we would have had this one a while ago, but hey, that's like, that's the number one response to, I feel like, anybody when Hearthstone comes out with something new, they're like, oh, they did this too late, but it, better than nothing kind of thing. And like, they always cop out on that. I'm going to try to stop doing that because we know that the Hearthstone devs work really hard. They do.
I appreciate Blizzard.
I do as well for letting us make livings off of video games. Pretty dope. So that's going on. We've also got even more Legendary. So you're also going to get, sorry, let me go back to 1 second. In addition, you will never open more copies of any card in a pack than you can use in a single deck. So no more three of the same card in a pack type thing. So that's pretty cool. And
but can you open them overall? Can you go and, like, let's say I have two of one card. Can I get a third one in another pack?
Yes.
Okay.
You just can't get, like, you know, those every once in a while you get that pack where you have like three of the same card.
Oh, you're yeah.
Like, cool. Thanks, Blizzard. Not the case anymore. So you've got that. And then even more Legendary, you're guaranteed to get a Legendary within your first 10 packs of a new set. So kind of they basically moved that pity timer to 10 packs to start, and then it goes back to 40. So, hey, that's got to be pretty nice. You get that Legendary early. It definitely felt like this last expansion, I got just wrecked by not getting Legendaries. And I got a lot of cards. I probably opened about 120 or so packs, and I'm still missing too many Legendaries. I feel like I only got like 7 or 8 Legendaries out of those packs. So feels good, man. So, I mean, overall, like, these are all awesome changes. Do you guys have any initial thoughts or feelings on these changes, or just meh, cool?
I'm saving money, baby.
Money. It's true. It's more of a free-to-play game than ever, right? So, hey, not too bad. What else we got on the docket here? Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. So, did you guys see the tweet that Hafu sent out earlier this week? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So Hafu sent out a tweet about Hearthstone viewership on Twitch. And it's at first glance, it's definitely disturbing, right? You're looking at Dog, Tice, Kriparian, Disguised Toast, Savitz, and Amaz. And they were showing their average concurrent viewers over the past 30 days. And they were down pretty significantly, like 20, 30, 40%, some even more. Like Amaz got hit really hard. And so she basically said, it's a little concerning for the viewership of Hearthstone. Love the game, but think we need more frequent updates. So, Ray, I want to get your thoughts on this. There was a pretty good thread in the follow-up with Hafu, Frodan, and Savitz. Kibler chimed in as well. What did you take about from all this?
Well, referring to that thread you were talking about, that the funniest part to me about that thread was actually Disguised Toast's tweet, where it shows him just like going up a little
looking
bit at
on
the end.
Bright like, side.
He's like, his viewership went down, but then it like just blipped up at the very end. That was funny. But in all seriousness, it gets like this every time. Like, that's just kind of how it is. Even with other games, too. It's like, I mean, it's the same thing over and over again. Like, there's no new content. Eventually, people get a little bit bored, so it's going to happen. But once a new set comes out, Crip or whoever's like big streamers, they're going to have like 20, 30, 40,000 viewers or something insane like that on the first day of release, and then it will all be good again for a little while. So I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing that this happens. I think this is pretty natural in terms of card games. And if they're releasing a set every like 2, 3, 4 months, that seems about normal for TCGs. I don't really see a huge issue with it. It's not like the metagame is so stale right now that it's just everybody hates it. Or at least in my opinion, it doesn't seem that way.
I just heard a bunch of people driving on their way home have to turn over to the side of the road, get out, and just start screaming in the air when you just heard that. So, or when you just said that. So, you know, it's okay though.
But I think that's natural. Like, it's been out for a bit. It's like, there's probably going to be a new set released or announced somewhat soon. So everything's going to be fine in a couple of weeks. But for tournaments, I've actually noticed that the viewership has gone down pretty significantly, especially for events like DreamHack and even Seed Story Cup. I remember Seed Story Cup this weekend was peaking at like 35, 40K at maximum. And I remember back in the day, Seed Story Cup was getting like 50 to 70K.
Yeah, so, I remember it going over 100K for some of the last matches. So
is part of that due to there being more tournaments now than back then? Because I see that the frequency of tournaments has definitely gone up. So, I mean, is it that people are watching more? I mean, the same amount of people might be watching tournaments, but they're probably more spread out.
Well, yeah, like that's HGG just that I've been is like 3 days a week for the past whatever 59 weeks. Well,
I forget who I talked to about this, but it might have been Frodan. Basically, people don't know which tournaments to care about. Like, what tournaments are people supposed to watch because there's so many of them and they're all trying to make themselves seem relevant? So what tournaments are we supposed to care about watching? Like, which tournaments should have the highest viewership outside of obvious ones like the World Championships and HCT type stuff? That's kind of something that I've noticed. Like, people just don't know like what to put an emphasis on, I guess.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I've just been thinking, because honestly, 2 years ago or even a year ago, you couldn't not get me to watch any Hearthstone tournament, anything at all, over my favorite streamers, over showering and brushing my teeth, or going to work. I freaking ate, slept, and dreamt about Hearthstone tournaments, and I wish I was over-exaggerating as much as that statement should have been over-exaggerating. But I've like with HGG, I was really excited about it. Hearthstone Global Games. I'm like, I'm all about this consistent Hearthstone tournaments with the best names in the game, bringing out some national pride as well. A huge, prize pool and, you know, the best casting and playing talent. What's not to love? I maybe throw it on the background sometimes, but I'm just like, meh. That for me, it's not the tournaments. It's the meta itself. The seeing the same. I remember feeling this way around Grim Patron Warrior, where almost every, you know, there was four rock paper scissors decks that everybody brought, and it feels very much the same right now. Where it's not like, oh, the play isn't as great. You know, the play is as high as it's ever been, in my opinion. Production value is as high as it's ever been. The casting talent is as talented and into the game as it's ever been. Like, I think the Hearthstone tournament scene health from those perspectives are the best it's ever been. But when I look at the viewership, I'm like, even Seat Story Cup, that's my jam. That's my favorite one because it's not just game 10-minute break, game 10-minute break. It's a lot of cool different things going on. They just did the Seat Story Cup for Overwatch, and I ate it up. I loved it. It was awesome. And for Hearthstone, I was just kind of like, without Ray there, I was like, how excited for this am I? And so I can definitely see, like, I just don't know. Is it burnout? Is it the meta? I can't really answer that, but maybe you guys can.
Before Ray jumps in, because I know you're going to have a pretty good response to that, I want to say that the meta is definitely a factor for me. Because, like, I've seen the same games over and over. I've seen Jade Druid. I've seen the Quest Rogue. And the matchups haven't really changed too much in the in that type of format. But I definitely feel that, like, at the start of an expansion, you see all the new pieces coming together. You see people testing out decks. And the tournaments are really the place to look at how the meta is going to develop. Like, the tournament is the bleeding edge of everything. And I feel towards the back end, it really starts to go towards like gameplay and just mechanics and knowing how to do all that stuff and who can play the decks the best. Not necessarily who can bring a lineup to who brings the best lineup that'll counter everything else.
Yeah, I feel like the meta is definitely pretty similar. Like since they did Standard and Wild, like since they made Standard a thing, throughout each expansion, a lot of the decks don't really change that much. Like J-Druid has been J-Druid since J-Druid was a thing, right? Even with the new stuff, like J-Druid will probably still be a thing in the next format, just maybe a couple cards different, and it'll still be a thing. So the decks are actually not changing all too much since they made Standard a thing, I guess. Actually, that's kind of when I saw the decline in viewership start to happening, was when they made Standard a thing and they tried to do all this stuff. And now it feels like throughout each format, a lot of the decks are pretty similar. Like, I think Quest Warrior is going to be a thing for a while, and I don't think it's going to change that much with each new set that comes out. Mm. And it's kind of like how Control Warrior was always the same thing for a long time, just like a little bit different each time.
Right.
I feel like if that is like that long enough, people are going to get bored of seeing something that's effectively the same thing for months and months and months.
And it's, I think for me, as you were saying that, like what it is for me is I lack enthusiasm for some of the tournaments. It's not like they're boring or the decks are boring. I'm not excited about it. I'm not excited to sit down and, you know, grab a Red Bull on my iPad, play some Hearthstone while I watch some Hearthstone kind of thing that I used to do almost daily. Red Bull is bad for you kids. Don't drink too much of it. But
you gotta jump to Monster. Gotta jump straight to Monster.
Go straight. This episode of Well Met, I would love an energy drink sponsorship for these shows. Just saying. We'll work on it. But it's just like, I'm just not that enthusiastic about it. I just like, I don't feel the investment that I used to. And I know of, you know, we've got about 150 people in our Well Met Discord now, which, by the way, you should join discord.me/wellmetpodcast. And sorry to say, but we do want to thank our Well Met legends, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Corel. How about that? There we go. We got that. But I just,
that in.
Even then, in Discord, our competitive like chat during big tournaments is like really low. The payload has a similarly sized Discord. And when Overwatch contenders are going, I mean, people are just lit in there talking about what's going on. And they're different. Like one's like a FPS shooter, fast paced. And it's also the new hotness, right? And Hearthstone's been around for a few years, and these names have been around for a few years, and these tournaments have been around for a few years. But it's just like, I've definitely noticed a contrast in some people's enthusiasm for it. But again, our sample size is relatively small, only about 150 people. I don't know.
I mean, you can just see the trends over time. Like you see that we have like a culture problem or whatever that we talked about last week. That shouldn't be a thing, right? Like, before, that wasn't really a thing. Like, that's happened over time. And as that's happened, so has the decrease in viewership and stuff, as people just take it less seriously and just don't care as much for whatever reasons that they have. I think it's all tied together. And once...
I mean, Blizzard's definitely trying to combat that. They're trying new things out with, like, the Wild tournament. Totally. The qualifiers were really exciting, and they actually have the Open tournament coming up later this week. So this weekend, they have the tournament coming through. So if you're looking for some refreshing Wild play, come check that out.
Yeah, and it's... And, like, yeah, the health of the pro scene feels the healthiest it's ever been. Especially from a pro player's perspective, I keep hearing about how great Blizzard has been in communicating and, being responsive to players. compared to the past, is what I'm saying. All right, fine.
Okay, that's fair. That is fair. They're getting better.
It's like if you go a year, I mean, do you remember the tournaments ran years ago and in years past? And it's like there's always a bracket issue. There's always someone who's like glitched out of the game and now they have different cards in their deck. Like there's always those weird things where I haven't heard about those at all in 2017. I guess that's more what I mean.
Nope. It's still just as bad.
It is? Okay. Maybe they're just going to have done a better job at hiding it.
They made it worse. We had to play at Buffalo Wild Wings, and you know, Buffalo Wild Wings does not necessarily have the best internet. So
I heard the people at Kansas City Buffalo Wild Wings had an awesome time. So,
I mean, I don't know if they were the ones playing.
Fair enough. I didn't. So I had a lot of friends who went there, and none of the players in Westminster who had it. But anyways, we're digressing down somewhere where we probably shouldn't go. So let's move on here to a little bit. So I mean, the big thing is, so Ray, what I'm getting from you is that this is normal, but a bit more pronounced on the viewership side. Is that how you'd kind of sum it up? Would you say this is normal?
Yeah, that's something that they were talking about in the thread too. Like, compared to last year, this kind of stuff is common.
Sure.
It's just more pronounced because people are just getting more frustrated with the game for whatever reason they have to get frustrated at the game.
Got it.
Like you said, people just aren't as enthusiastic as they used to be.
Cool. Danny, what do you think? Is it just normal? Do you think this will go down as just another normal
dip? I think it's like a cyclical process. And I was looking at some of the data that I think Kibler posted in that thread. I'm not sure who, don't quote me on that. But it actually seemed that the point we are now compared to where we were last cycle is actually a bit higher. So I think that the metagame right now compared to like Gadgetzan, it's probably a little bit better.
Cool. Well, there you have it. No need to panic, kids. It's all going to be okay. And Ray's going to be the world champion in 2017. All right, Ray. So the last thing I wanted to chat with you, can you give us a little recap on Seat Story Cup?
Well, actually, my friend of mine won Mitsu Hyde. He won DreamHack, and he's actually a really, really good player. So he's one of those people that most people probably don't know because he's not necessarily a household name right now. But if you're a top level player, you definitely know who this guy is. And he earned his invite and he played well and he got there. And I believe he had to beat like Osaka in the finals. And Osaka's lineup was, he had actually a big druid, which is pretty cool. The rest of his lineup was pretty standard, but Mitsuhide, I don't know how he pronounces it. His lineup was actually just super vanilla. Which is really sad. That's the problem. When you look at the top eight, almost every single lineup is identical.
Mm.
Aside from maybe like Tech Choices and Osaka's Big Druid. But even that's pretty solid deck choice. It's not that far out there in Last Hero Standing. Since it's such a polarizing deck and it's Last Hero Standing, it's a lot easier to play in that format. It was Osaka versus Mitsuhide in the finals, so obviously really great players. They were just playing vanilla stuff. There was really nothing interesting. All the meme decks that people brought, like Toast and Froden, were trying to innovate a little bit, and they all just kind of failed. Like, it was really sad. Like, Froden brought Quest Mage, and he practiced it a lot, and I was practicing with him. He was actually practicing Murloc, Warlock, and Quest Mage, and all these wacky decks, and he ended up bringing Quest Mage at the end, and he just did not do so well, which was really sad to see.
But, dang. Bummer. It was still a really good event. I would say I had it open for the whole tournament, but like I was doing other things a lot in the background. And, you know, Seed Story Cup is always fun. If you're like, I don't know where to start watching Hearthstone or which tournaments to watch, like Seed Story Cup is one that you should put a little check mark next to in your head as one to catch because they're always really fun. They're always really relaxed. If you're wanting to improve as a player, it's really great to get the different perspectives from the different pros after they win or lose They usually come sit down on the casting desk and talk about how they felt about the matchups, their lineup, their opponent, how they played. It's just really interesting to hear from pros, kind of that more in that immediate moment. Here's how I thought I played, and here's, you know, all that stuff.
Or it's the opposite, and they just get completely wasted and go to cast anyways.
So yeah, day two and day three, basically after the first 2 days, right? It was like 4 or 5 days. After the first couple days, yeah, it starts to get pretty rowdy. It digresses into a rager. But
Rexful and Forsen casted the finals, and
yeah, I didn't get to listen to that.
Let's just say there was probably like a 10,000 viewer bump just to see if they'd get banned.
Oh. Fair enough. Anyways, make sure to go check that out. If you want to check out the VODs, they're at twitch.tv/taketv, or I'm sure you can find them somewhere on YouTube and whatever else as well. So let's jump in to the meta really quick.
Beat him or join him.
So, as usual, we jump into the standard meta report for the Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper report. This is number 53, I believe. And some changes here. Ray, I want to hear from you really quick. Crystal Rogue, when we talked about it a week or two ago, we were kind of talking about how it was getting better, but it was still just like a bellwether deck. But it sounds like Crystal Rogue is starting to cause some more disturbances than initially what it was a week or two ago. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, there was a player who got rank one legend on NA and EU playing Crystal Rogue or Quest Rogue. And since then, it kind of took off because so many of like the top 10 legend players were just playing Crystal Rogue or Quest Rogue, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And there were so many of them that were just doing well with it that I think other people that are worse at the deck started to pick it up. And obviously, if more people are playing the deck, it's going to do better or be shown more and become more of a force in the metagame. But sure. I think the main problem why it was so low rank before was because people were just bad at the deck that were playing it and only a few good players are playing it. But now that it's doing so well, and it's the only thing you see people posting when they're posting like, oh, rank one legend, it's usually with Crystal Rogue. So that's definitely increased the popularity over the last couple weeks. I think the metagame kind of evolves around Twitter posts. As weird as that sounds.
Yeah.
The metagame kind
of. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree 100%. Definitely see that. You'll see someone post one thing and then you'll hear someone talk about it on like the competitive Hearthstone Reddit. And then from there, it just trickles down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely, like, when I can, I try to get my list from Twitter and not from the meta reports or competitive Hearthstone, because usually by then it's like 12 to 24 hours too late to be like as effective as it could be for someone like me who wins by countering rather than, you know, just playing the deck better. So I can definitely see that. Now, something that Vicious Syndicate is saying is that the meta is starting to destabilize, and we're starting to see some potentially oppressive decks. And what they cite is Pirate Warrior at Legend is up to almost 55% win rate, which is getting that gets pretty high. I think the highest we saw was like 55, and that was Patron Warrior.
Yeah, so it's kind of really awkward now because you have this Quest Rogue deck that's really, really good, and then you have this Pyro Warrior deck that's really good against the Quest Rogue deck, but also just really good in general, and Quest Rogue is kind of good against everything else, so you kind of have this weird rock, paper, scissors type thing where if you throw rock, which is Quest Rogue, and you hit scissors, which is like Pirate Warrior, or paper, sorry. Oh, wow,
I'm not rock, paper, scissors. You know this goes?
Wrong way.
Papers, Pirate Warrior, like you're just gonna lose, right? And now you have to throw scissors because you want to try to beat Pirate Warrior, and then you hit Quest Rogue, and it's just like,
yeah. So
getting kind of toxic.
does it feel like to you guys then that that we might be on the brink of just kind of a destabilized meta between these two decks as long as things kind of keep going that way?
I mean, Token Shaman's starting to do pretty well as well. So I don't know how, I mean, that's more of a mid-rangey style thing with Burst. So I think that that has a little tidbit that should be tossed in as well.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the scissors in that scenario where, like, the Token Shaman does well against Pirate Warrior and you just lose to Quest Rogue really hard. So it's one of those things where it's just hard. You kind of have to get lucky. You have to go on a really good streak and you have to not hit the bad matchups. And that doesn't happen all the time, obviously. Sometimes you just don't feel like you're playing Hearthstone anymore. Sometimes you feel like the game is over as soon as you hit the wrong matchup. Yeah. I know that's how I feel a lot of the time. Where I'm just like, dang. I just hit five Quest Rogues in a row and the game was over on turn one before I even got to play a card. So that's just happening. I don't know why they call it a destabilized meta. I think that's more of a stabilized meta where, like, you know what's good, or I don't know if stable.
It's like locked in, kind of.
Yeah. Like it's a solved meta.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. I guess it just, like, you just see those two, like, all the iterations and stuff only come to those two decks until someone tries to, like, beat it, and then they just tech again, and then it's kind of back to being better than it was before anyway. At least that's what happened to Quest Rogue, is basically it, like, gets shoved down. They find another card or two to put in, and then all of a sudden it's back up to where it was or higher. But ultimately, besides that, there's not a whole lot changing in the meta this week. So, you know, keep an eye on Crystal Rogue and Pirate Warrior. And if you're wanting to win, I would definitely look into those decks because, well, they do really well against the field. Pirate Warrior, at least to a extent, is relatively straightforward to pilot with some practice. And so good luck to you all. But we actually wanted to talk about a little bit of a wild card we had on the meta report this week. And that's Warlock. Is that, am I reading this right? What? Warlock. Yes.
What's a warlock?
I don't, it's a, that it's, I don't even have something clever for that. So it's just, that's how bad it is. We have not, they call him Gul'dan. So we have not seen Warlock really in the meta since Reno went away. We saw some early kind of plays on discard Warlock, and some people try to make Zoo work again. But ultimately, we haven't seen a Warlock deck go into tier two on Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper Report until now. Murloc Warlock is here. I'm going to do a rundown on the deck list, and I'm going to let the masters in Danny and Array take us through this deck. So you've got something fun to pilot this week, if you are so inclined. So there's two different deck lists. I'm going to run through the Sea Giant Murloc Warlock one, and then there's another one that it has a Doom Guard Murloc Warlock, and I'll tell you about that. The only differences. So we have two Bloodsail Corsairs, two Flame Imps, two Murloc Tidecallers, Patches, two Voidwalkers, two Bilefin Tidehunters, two Bluegill Warriors, two Murloc Tidehunters, two Rockpool Hunters, two Coldlight Seers, two Murloc Warleaders, two Primal Fin Lookouts, two Gentle Megasaurs, two Sea Devil Stingers, Finja the Flying Star, and two Sea Giants. On the other side, the Doomguard one instead runs Leroy Jenkins, Doom Guards, Malkazar's Imp, and Soulfire instead of Sea Giants, Pirates, and Flame Wakers. Or not Flame Walker. That's not right. Flame Imp.
There we go.
Flame Imp, not Flame Walker. My bad. But anyways, so same Murloc package. One has some cheaper minions. At least, Ray, this is what it looks like to me. It looks like one runs out some more cheap minions so you can get extra value from the Sea Giants, and the other one looks to really go face with Soulfires and Leroys and Doomguards. Is that, am I getting the right idea there?
Well, the ones with Sea Giants and the lower curve minions are better against the more aggressive decks and things like Shaman and stuff. And the version that is more bursty with Soulfires, Doomguards, and Leroy, just that just has more reach, is going to be better against control.
Okay.
And more mid-rangey decks.
Got
just
it.
Because you have extra reach and you're able to just have better late game than the other version. The other version runs out of gas really quickly. Oh, you have the hero power, but that doesn't really help if you're already kind of lost the board against control most of the time.
Right. So what then would you say are the key cards to this deck? So what are the absolutely most important cards for people to kind of keep in their mind?
Devil Stinger and Finja.
Yeah.
The Flying Star. That is the deck.
Why? Explain it to me.
Well,
what does Sea Devil Stinger do? That's probably not something our audio listeners are going to pull up in their registry of Hearthstone cards.
Sure. So Sea Devil Stinger is the 4-mana 4/2 Murloc, and your next Murloc that you play, it has to be that turn, I think. It costs health, not mana. So you can sneak in any other Murloc that turn, which is great for tempo. And getting a Finja out, playing a 4-mana Sea Devil Stinger, and then just sneaking out the Finja, it's fantastic. I actually played this deck in a tournament, like a just for fun tournament that I had earlier this weekend. And I ran this deck to counter Quest Rogue and actually did pretty well.
Nice.
The deck is definitely solid. But, I mean, Vicious Syndicate says it's tier 2, and it's tier 2 for a reason, right? It's just strictly worse than the tier 1 decks, in my opinion. Like, Murloc Paladin and the other more aggressive decks in the metagame are probably just better than this, slightly. Sure. But this is different, and it still has the potential to beat the decks that it can beat.
And it's more fun. It's off-meta. It feels off-meta. It feels like you're not playing the same top 5 decks every week.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Ray.
I was going to say, Sea Devil Stinger into Finja the Flying Stars. Doesn't matter what you're playing against. Sometimes that's just that you just win.
Yeah.
It's just GG.
Nice. Okay, so now that we kind of know, basically, does it really rely on that Sea Devil Stinger pretty heavily to eke out wins? Like, if you don't draw your Sea Devil Stinger, are you just out of luck?
I mean, Murlocs as a class can come together and synergize for wins. I mean, you see that in the Paladin decks. I mean, even in some like the old school Murloc Warlocks, having the hero power against some like controlling style decks, it just really puts you over the edge. So you're not completely done if you don't draw that. But I mean, you got to get a good start.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that the Sea Devil Stinger is actually particularly good, honestly. As a card, it fits in this archetype. It's good in the archetype. But you win a lot of games just by going turn 1 Murloc Tidecaller, turn 2 Rockpool Hunter, turn 3 War Leader. Like you
Got
do
it.
With every Murloc.
So you
deck,
still have the strength of like any Murloc deck that's more than just like Pirates right now. Pirate is running 2 Pirates and Patches. Like that's not really a Pirate deck. Whereas like Pirate Warrior is like, well, yeah, almost half the decks are Pirates. The other half is weapons. So, I mean, that makes sense. So you still have that same power in a Murloc thing, but you've got some sneaky synergies with the Sea Devil Stinger. I don't even, like, what's Gentle Megasaur? I haven't actually looked at Gentle Megasaur.
Is this a joke? I can't tell if you're memeing me right now.
Yes, I know nothing. And our thousands of audio listeners who are listening in their car right now need to, you know, okay. they know this is just for me.
Okay, John, I'm going to tell you what gentle all right. sword is.
Okay.
All right. The four mana, 5/4.
Okay.
And it has an ability.
Oh my called God.
It's a battle cry, and it means when a card comes into play, it triggers the effect. All right.
Oh my God. Oh my so the, God. I am.
The wait, battle you didn't cry, explain health and mana.
Well, No. No. Okay, so the battle cry, it says, adapt all murlocs. Okay, do you know what a murloc is, John? They go, they're those guys, you know? So it adapts them. And now adapt, it lets you choose from one of 9 things.
Ouch!
Would you want me to know what? 10, it's even better. Or worse.
Added bonus.
Yeah, you choose from one of 10 things. You want me to go through them all for you?
Oh, no. I'm going to get finished crying here. Wow. Yeah, sorry, audio listeners, trying to be considerate to you and calling out some of the tricky ones. But clearly, Ray has no time for that. All right.
Sorry, bud.
All right.
For I explained all you, it to you.
For all you listeners and watchers out there, you got some homework to do. Go make 1,200 flashcards of every card and then go ahead and it'll say the card name on the front and you have to say the mana, cost, health, and card text. On my desk by Murloc. Next Tuesday.
It's been in Murloc Paladin for a long time.
That's true. That's true. That's just always one that we've gotten a few emails about, or we'll just say JR forgets sometimes. So, hey, all right. Well, let's move on then. So, it sounds like to me the win conditions are twofold. One is to just overwhelm and control the board, and the other one is to do that. But you've also got a little bit of reach with. Mm-hmm. The Soulfires and the Doom Guards. And are there any other kind of win conditions in the sense that, was that kind of about it?
Yeah, I mean, if it's an aggro deck, you just curve out and you get turn 4 gentle Megasaur. I know you know what it does now. And then you adapt all your Murlocs and you kill them.
And War Leader's pretty good too. War Leader giving the buff to everything.
I did not sign up for this. Which one? War Leader?
Yeah, War Leader is like a mini Savage Roar.
Yeah, that's true. War Leader is like a staple, I feel like. I haven't played Murloc decks since like vanilla. Back when Murloc Warlock was oppressive and our good friend of the show, Freshka, pioneered that deck. Pioneered! He was the king of the fish, they called him. He was the Murloc guy. So
he was told me tales.
So what are mulligans? Are there any tricky mulligans thing, like never keep these low drops or sometimes keep these high drops, or is it pretty if it has a 1 or a 2, hold on to it?
Well, I would say against other aggressive decks, actually keeping Soulfire is really good just to deal with their stuff. Well, you can develop your own because it's 1 mana, and just finding a curve, honestly, that's what you want. You want a 1, 2, 3.
Cool. Any other tricks from you, Danny, on ways that you kind of mulligan around these decks? Because you played it in the tournament.
Well, yeah, sure. In the tournament, I actually kept, I kept Finja in my opening hand against a Taunt Warrior because I knew the guy was playing Taunt Warrior because I beat him before with something. So I actually kept Finja. So against some of the more controlling decks, you might want to keep Finja in your opening hand.
Interesting. I would never have done that. So there you go. Now you know. Sometimes when you know that they have a slow taunt deck, think outside of the box. Matchups. Let's talk about matchups here. Are there any particularly strong or difficult matchups that you guys can really think of?
Yeah. So I actually tested this deck with Frodan a bunch for Seed Story Cup, and the bad matchups are any types of like anti-aggro control decks like Taunt Warrior, Freeze Mage, Shamans that are like anti-aggro with like Volcano or whatever are really bad matchups for this deck, and they generally just don't win. But the good matchups, are, it just does fine Quest against Rogue. Other, yeah, Quest Rogue, like others, like slow combo-y decks, like Jade Druid, it does really well at beating Jade Druid, Quest Rogue, other Druid. Aggro decks it does fine against.
Yeah, Druid, I couldn't imagine. I mean, it's the same thing. Druid can't clear multiple things at once if it has more than one health. So, yeah.
I think when we were testing, like, Priest was kind of a 50-50. If I have Dragonfire Potion on 6 every game, I was just winning every time. And if I don't have Dragonfire Potion, I probably am not winning. So
would you say if you're running against this deck, so if somebody's queuing up on ladder and you're running against it, holding on to some more aggressive cards and removal and maybe even your AoE might be a decent counter? Or do you just kind of have to hope to... Cool.
No, you even keep like Brawl in your opening hand against this deck.
Cool. Any other tips, tricks, thoughts about this deck? We went through this one pretty quick. It's pretty straightforward. It doesn't seem like a necessarily difficult deck overall to pilot. Seems pretty straightforward. But any other thoughts, tips, or tricks?
Draw a good curve every single game and you'll be happy.
Yeah, draw well and you're good.
Draw well a good curve. Here at Well Met, we can control how you draw and when you draw just by listening to this show. You're welcome. You are welcome. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. It's been a interesting week. We had JR's not feeling well, so he had to bounce out today. Ray wasn't going to be here. And then, well, you know, sometimes life gives you lemons, I guess.
And cry.
And you cry.
You cry because you can't go to see
Thursday. And then you take it out on John and make him cry on the show. So fair enough.
Yeah, that always makes me feel a little better. Thank you.
Okay. Well, great. Well, hey, if you guys have any topics you'd like to hear discussed, we've got both Danny, Ray, JR, and even me. We love talking about Hearthstone. That's why we do it. We've got some really smart people on the show. So bring us your ideas, your questions, your topics so that we can discuss them for you on the show. We'd love to hear from you in an email. Send us an email to wellmet@blizzpro.com. No bonus drop this week, but we do have one new patron, Brian C. Thank you so much. Welcome to the family. Join our Discord at discord.me/wellmetpodcast. And hang out with us there. Ask us questions. Find a friend. Complete some quests. It's a pretty chill place. So come hang out with us, please. We'd love to have you. Small update for our patrons. Because of all the changes that kind of happened unexpectedly this month, we are going to be doing a game night this week. And we are going to be doing a short patron episode. So we just did our first one for the payload. And we're going to do one for WellMet as well. And it's 15 to 20 minutes. It's just for patrons. And just kind of answering some stuff that maybe we wouldn't get to during a normal show. Give you a little bit behind the scenes with the hosts and stuff like that. So it's fun. So you can just get involved at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. And stay tuned on our Twitter and our Discord for those game night times and when that special episode goes live. But that'll be live here hopefully before the first of the month, but please forgive us if we're a little bit later. So that's it for Patreon. No new iTunes reviews this week, but if you do like the show, how we are placed and seen and discovered on iTunes is based on the 5-star reviews that we get from you folks. So if you have a spare moment, you're hanging out in class, got a little break at work, head on over to iTunes or Stitcher, leave a 5-star review there, and a little comment is always nice too, because if you leave a comment, then we can see your name and read it on the show, and we'll have JR mispronounce it on a week-to-week basis. But that's going to do it for us for this episode. So, all right, fellas, shout-outs for the week, and where can people find you, Danny?
Sure, you can find me at DannyDonuts_HS. And my shout out for the week, definitely go check out the Wild Hearthstone Open this weekend. It's going to be on the Play Hearthstone I think they're going to have Froden, Kibler, some other really good casters. So go check that out.
Awesome. Ray, what about you? Shoutouts for the week, and where can people find you?
Shoutouts to you, John, for making me feel better.
You're welcome. I am the world's best verbal punching bag.
Oh gosh.
We can make it a Patreon tier for like $30 a month, get an hour to just verbally abuse John. Record it for you.
Patreon.
Yeah.
Ray signed up with four accounts. just brutal.
Yeah, but you can follow me on Twitter, PG_RayC. I usually tweet a lot about everything Hearthstone related, and sometimes I'll do well in post decklist, which I should have probably done yesterday, but I did not. I do that now. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. Awesome. Well, make sure to follow Danny and Ray on the Twitter. Join us in our Discord as well. Hop on over to Patreon, leave an iTunes review. As for me, you can find me everywhere at KickTripod. Twitch.tv/KickTripod, Twitter.com/KickTripod. And you know what? Just go to KickTripod.com. I've actually got a blog up there as well. So you can kind of come hang out. And yeah, that's right. I saw your eyebrows raise. I have a blog. If anyone knows me, I'm a total tech head. I mean, look at my room. Like, it's just ridiculous. And so I've been asked by a few people to do some like reviews on different pieces of technology that I've owned, like microphones and audio interfaces and mice and keyboards.
Dude, I could have used that last week, man.
Dude, you crushed it. You got like, you sound great, man. So kudos. Kudos to you. And then we'll get Ray off the headset mic for next week. So. Yeah. Those HyperX Cloud 2s, though, honestly don't sound that bad. I have a pair, so I can test. They're in my opinion, if you're looking for a pair of like $100 to $150 range headphones, the Clouds, HyperX Clouds, are tippity top.
If I say that, do I have to say sponsored? No, sponsored?
Because we're not sponsored. We just think that they're good.
Oh, well, I just
think they're good. You are?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're not. Now you do. Ray is sponsored, but he didn't tell me to say any of that. So I don't know. It's a gray line. Sorry about that. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for joining us for episode 113 of Well Met. Join us live Mondays at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzpro. Send us your emails to wellmet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Thanks so much for hanging out. We'll see you next week.